Up with Matthew. Amen. It's good to see Matthew just growing, and you know, whatever we ask him to do, you know, he's a true servant, and whatever you ask him to do, he's gonna do it, and he's gonna do it. So we thank God for servants of the Most High God. How about that? Servants of the Most High God. Amen. That's the title of the sermon today. Servants of the Most High God. We're in Acts 16. That's what we need, servants of the Most High God. And folks, recognize that you're a servant. If you're going to do what God say do, and you do it long enough, you'll look like God. And you'll talk like him. And then you will be crucified and spit on and treated bad like him. You went too far, that preacher. Acts 16. Shana was in my office this morning. And I was taking more little notes since I got these men stepped up to teach Sunday school and things. And I told her, I got three sermons. She said, dude, just do one because I'm sleepy. I say, I'll try. Let's look at verse number 16. No, verse number 14. We're going to do a lot of reading, so you folks with the bad knees, y'all, we don't mind you sitting. We understand, but we talk about having a CIA sermons and context and interpretation and application, so we have to go all the way back and find out really what's going on here. So let's look at verse number 16 in Acts 16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to pray, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Let me say that again. Paul, being grieved, and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Wow. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God, Father God. Thank you for the healing power, the deliverance power, Father God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the service of God, like Matthew, servant of the Most High God. We pray that he would grow and this ministry would grow and God would continue to empower the servants of God that we find in this church. Father God, we ask you to be with us today. Touch hearts and minds. Do a work of grace on a heart that don't know you, Father God. Do a work of grace on a heart that thinks they know you and don't. Father God, make a change. Start from the pulpit, Father God. Do a powerful work today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Servants of the most high God can expect some things. We see Paul is doing exactly what he was asked to do. He is doing exactly what verse number 9, if you look at Acts 16, verse number 9, Paul was called to go to Macedonia. And it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. Help us." And a lot of times folks is crying out. They may not say it exactly like that, but they're saying, "Help us. I need help." And this is what he says in verse 10. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel." They didn't call Paul to go there and hand out supplies and book bags and none of that.
Amen.
Paul was called to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay? And there's nothing wrong with handing out book bags and nothing wrong with handing out stuff, but Paul's mission was to preach the gospel. And again, there's a level of controversy there, because Paul knew he's going into a foreign land, he's going to an evil place to preach the gospel. He knew he was going to have confrontation. You best to know it. You best to know it. And this is what we talk about when you baptize these children. Let them know you're going to have confrontation, because you're not going to fit in if you living it out. See, we have too many saved folk that want to blend right in with the crowd. We need to be different. As a servant of God, we ought to be different. We ought to look different. We ought to talk different. Our behavior ought to be different. What's wrong with you? I'm saved.
Amen.
Child of God, how do you expect me to act? Paul and his companions, on their way back to Lydia's place. Remember, Lydia was saved. God did a work of grace in her heart, and Lydia was saved. Paul was on his way back to Lydia's to pray. How many had trouble getting to church this morning? Cindy did. She was confronted with some things. She got to church at 9:30. That's the latest I ever seen her come to church. Say, what happened? Well, you know, Ray couldn't find no shoes. Randy and Michael, she trying to get them all together. Sometimes you got to be like Paul did. He prayed to the Spirit. Not Ray that couldn't find no shoes. And not Randy that didn't want to wake up. Or Michael who was misbehaving. It's just the Spirit was in the house.
Amen.
And sometimes you just have to stop and pray for your children. Paul on his way in verse number 16. It says that, and it came to pass as we went to pray or to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. That word met us means they were confronted. There was a little battle going on right here, and she met him head on. She knew where Paul was going, and she knew her role. They didn't stop Paul. Paul's going to save some more houses, just like he did Lydia. Paul's job was to come and help us. He was going to turn, and he did. He turned Macedonia around. He planted a church there, and it was a great church, the Philippian church. But she met us. It says, she met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And that's another word for lying. Satanic power. You know, I know a lot of folks. You got Miss Cleo. You go down in Howland, you got a whole lot of these folks. You know, I had a woman that I worked with. She was a Catholic lady, and she would have these little seances, and people would just come. Pay her $25 and tell them, their future and stuff like that. She made a lot of money doing it. That's what she was. I would tell her. Amen. Soothsayer. It says the same follow Paul and us in Christ, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. What's wrong with that? Nothing. She's telling the truth. She's telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth. They were the servants of the Most High God. And this is the problem I have. This is the problem I have. And I have it because God has it. And if I got a problem, it's because the Word of God has a problem.
Amen.
You know? God did not want to hear an evil spirit praising him.
Amen.
And this is what I say. I want to sing in the choir. I want to sing in the choir. You got to be careful.
Amen.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful when you doing ministry in the wrong spirit. You better know what you're singing.
Amen.
You better know what you're singing, because see, God will deal with you.
Uh-huh.
Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4 says this. It says that when Jesus was preaching, the devils also came out of many. They were crying out, saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." They were telling the truth. But Jesus did not want to hear no evil spirit praising him.
Amen.
And see, we didn't let everybody up in the choir. Yeah, it don't even matter. They don't have a clue what they're singing. And they just file right in. I'm going to sing. Listen, you better know what you're singing.
Amen.
Because God will shut your mouth.
Amen.
Look what he says. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ, that he was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Paul shut this woman down. Not because she was telling the truth, but he didn't want to hear it coming from an evil spirit. It wasn't coming from her. And it says in verse 18, she did this many days. She followed him many days, and Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. That was key, to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. Did y'all get that? I know we covered that in Sunday school. Did y'all get that? That's a male demon inside a woman's body. And God, in the person of Paul, knew it, called him out, come out of there. And he came out. I don't know where he went. Don't say, but he came out. Look at verse 19, though. And I say this to young people. The world will use you. The world will use you. And when the world's done using you, it won't have nothing to do with you. And if you get saved, if you truly get saved, the world will have nothing to do with you. This woman was restored. She was delivered. She was saved. And the masters, they could care less about her. I think about this, and I go to these funerals, and I see these young boys, you know, and I'm sometimes I just wonder, because you know, their buddies come, and you know, they're remorseful, and they hear the word of God, and they go right back to doing what they was doing. They go right back to doing what they was doing. I talked to the lady at the hospital. I was down there visiting some folks in the hospital. And she said, they just drag the boys in. They be all shot up. And they just drag them in the front door and throw them in and run out and get in their car and leave. That's how the world do you. And it happens almost every week at St. E's on the north side. They just drag the boys in. See, we only hear about the ones that get murdered. We don't hear about the ones shot up. And you see all these little young boys riding around these little electric wheelchairs. It's a picture of the world. Look how this goes. And I don't know. I told Shayna I got three messages. I'm gonna get through this. Look at verse 19. And when her master saw that their hope of their gains was gone, the woman couldn't talk no more. She couldn't prophesy no more. No more soothsaying. No more lying to folks. Man, wouldn't that be wonderful? If the Spirit of God has come through some of these churches where he preaches is lying, won't preach the Bible. All they preaching is for a salary. And when you're preaching for a salary, you ain't going to tell folks the truth. Because they know they don't want to hear the truth.
Amen.
Okay, we need to raise an offering. So you had to have a happy message. Uh-huh. And maybe we'll come back. You can't come with no radio. That's a nice radio, Claire. They had to raise an offering. And when the masters saw that their hope was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They didn't care about this girl. She was just a commodity. She could care less about her. They were worried they had lost a source of income. Let's keep moving. Let's get down to business. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they had caught them, they arrested them, and they laid many stripes on them. In the Romans, see, the Jews could only lay you 39. The Romans could put all they want on you. Okay? They wore Paul and Silas out. That's just part of the territory. We don't like to talk about that. See, this is why we don't have to worry about it, because we're not going to get no opposition. And you won't get any opposition if you ain't preaching nothing. If you're not standing against nothing,
amen.
You won't get no opposition. If you sit here and you say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with 2,200 little black babies being aborted every day in America, you're not going to have a problem. If you fully support same-sex marriage candidates and pro-abortion candidates, and you will not have a problem. You will not get any confrontation from the world. But the moment one of these big shots, one of these preachers of L.A. or preachers of Detroit or preachers of Youngstown grab a microphone and say, you know what? Same-sex marriage is a sin.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Offer is going down. And nobody want to hear that.
Amen.
Nobody want to hear that. And somebody said, well, you know, yeah, we got a black president, but he wrong on his position of same-sex marriage and abortion.
Amen.
But he black like us. We got to support him because he black.
Uh-huh.
We got to watch Medea because for the same reason, yeah. We don't agree with it. Foolishness.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 22:5 says it's an abomination.
Amen.
It's an abomination for a man to wear woman's clothes.
Amen.
It's the word of God say that.
Amen.
It don't say, well, it's just a movie, it's okay. It's an abomination.
Amen.
And I know there's a whole lot of Madea tapes up in here. And CDs and DVDs. I'm just telling you what the Word of God say.
Amen.
We don't know no better. But if you don't know, now you know. Because as soon as your little son come home and he got on your pumps and he got on your stockings and he said, I want to be like Madea, Mommy, because you think it's funny, I want to be like Madea. No, I want you to be like Michael Jordan. It's okay until your son put your pumps on. Then it ain't funny no more.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. And at midnight, where'd I stop at? Y'all got me all down these rabbit trails. 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, listen, you ain't get no stripes. You got to earn stripes. Okay? Listen, you got to earn stripes. These stripes Paul was getting was earned because they were standing for the word of God. They were preaching the gospel and they earned their stripes. You're not getting them. I'm preaching, well, you know, I don't get no opposition. Everybody like me. This is a problem. And you're not standing for nothing. Amen. If you're popular. See, I'm not popular. I've been here 5 years. Ain't nobody invited me to come preach their church. Ain't that something?
Amen.
You can't preach. That's why you ain't preaching. You just messing with people. You preaching the gospel. Them people don't want to hear that. We try to raise an offering. You don't have me preaching to the walls. One preacher told me, you don't have me preaching to the walls. And I was preaching on sex and fornication. And then he said, all my ladies in here is fornicating. You can't be preaching that. They got me preaching to the wall. I think he told all the other Baptist preachers in Youngstown. Don't have him come. Your girls, all your girls, they going to stop having fornication. I think that's a problem. That's a problem. Pastor, you messed up. Listen, it says this, charging the jailer in verse 23 to keep them safely. Now, these were Christian preachers, okay? It wasn't hard to keep them safe. You could probably just put them in a little room, okay? You could have just probably put them in a little room, and they'd have been safe. This brother locks them in the inner prison. He puts them in the high security area of the prison where the worst of the worst would have been. And then they not only did that, he put their feet in stocks. I mean, he had them leaned over, hands and feet in stocks. Now imagine how that felt after your back had already been ripped open. Put them in the segregation unit. Lockdown. With the worst of the worst. Oh, let me tell you something about a servant of God. If you're a servant of God, let me tell you something. You will have a song at midnight. Okay? You will have a heaven-born song. You will have a heavenly-born happiness. And you won't get this in the midnight hour. If you don't have this going into the jail,
amen.
You won't get it when you get there.
Amen.
Okay? When you get there and you don't have, you're going to be moaning and groaning. Oh, they doing me wrong. Oh, Lord have mercy. I didn't do nothing. What you pulling me over for? I hear all this stuff. You need to have your song ready.
Amen.
When the midnight hour come, when that time of adversity come, you need to be ready because it's coming.
Amen.
Okay? That evil day is coming. And we as men and women of God, we need to be ready for that evil day. This is what James says in James 5:13. Now this don't apply to everybody because everybody can't do this. He says, is any among you afflicted? And I'm going to look around here because I know y'all. Many of us in here right now are suffering, going through. We got some bad news. We didn't have some of our loved ones been shot over the last couple of weeks and different things that happened in our lives. We've been going through. Kids acting crazy. Going through. But James say this. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That Paul and Silas didn't have hymn books when they got in the inner prison. They had a song in their heart.
Amen.
They had a song in their heart. And you see the order of things. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas, first they prayed. That's why I know they was Baptists. First they prayed. And then they sang praises unto the Lord. See? The prayer got their hearts right. Got them in right relationship, right fellowship with the Lord. And then they say praises unto God. See, this is why I don't worry about the choir. I know they're singing to the Lord. When they may not sound, they may not be sharp. Oh, they ain't one sharp. They singing to the Lord.
Amen.
They singing to the Lord. And then they started preaching. Look at verse 25. First they prayed, then they sang, and it says, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen.
And we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what Paul and Silas was doing, instead of doing what some of us would have been doing, moaning and groaning, I need a phone call. I need to call my lawyer. Y'all did me wrong. I ain't do nothing. No, they started to pray. Because they understand a true man of God, a true servant of God, we don't believe in happenstance. We don't believe in chance. If God has locked us up, if God has put us in a certain place, then we there for a reason. We there for a reason, and we better take note of that. And we better look around and see, wait a minute. Why am I here? Why am I in this place right now? Somebody may need to hear from the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody may need to hear a song at midnight. Job 35:10 says this. I thought it was interesting. He said, but none say, where's my maker who giveth songs in the night? God will give you a song, and it may not be for you. When this choir is up here singing, I mean, I'm pretty sure when Cindy is singing today, or Margaret, or who's ever singing, Matthew, they're singing for you. They're ministering. They're doing ministry. That's why I take so much, and when I hear the people up here singing, I just want to pray that they be right with God.
Amen.
That their hearts are right. That they're doing the best they can. They're living the best they can because they're doing ministry.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And you do ministry with your life.
Amen.
You don't do ministry with your mouth.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me say that again. You do ministry with your life.
Amen.
You ministry with your life because if your life don't back up what you're saying, folks don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Folks don't want to hear it. Amen.
Amen.
Paul's preaching. And they're praying and they're singing and again probably somebody said what song was they singing and the word of God and most theologians say they were singing Psalms 113. Most say they were singing Psalms 113. How's it going? I'm just going to give you a little bit. I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to read it. Psalms 113 talks about the excellency of God. He said, "Praise ye the Lord." This is what they were singing. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above all the heavens. Who is like the Lord? Our God who dwelleth on high." That's all. And I'm pretty sure those prisoners, those inmates probably say, "Who is this God you're talking about? Who is this God that you're talking about?" And I'm pretty sure Paul gave them the gospel because that's what Paul did. He came to Macedonia to preach the gospel. And if it wasn't for the demon-possessed woman, he never would have had an opportunity to go to this prison and deliver these folks. Because these prisoners were saved. They were saved by the preaching of God's word because when they had an opportunity to leave, Paul said, Roman soldier, don't kill yourself. We're all here. Then none of them leave. Then none of them leave. The word of God will grip you. It will grip your heart. And it will not let you go back to doing what you used to do.
Amen.
I'm just troubled when I hear folks tell me they're saved and they're doing the same thing that they were doing before they got saved.
Amen.
That's just the business of preaching. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And then you have to look at your life and say, you know what, if I'm truly born again, if that scripture is to be held true, then there has to be a passing away. This Roman soldier would ask Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? That's the same question that the rich young ruler asked him, that the rich young rulers asked him out of a heart of selfishness because he knew he wasn't letting go of his stuff. And God said, listen, why you call me good? You're not going to listen to me. How do you handle your adversity? How you handle adversity? How do you handle trials? Maybe what's necessary to save your loved ones. Because you know what? Anybody can sing in the light. Everybody can sing when the light's on, everything bright and shiny, everything wonderful, and all your kids are doing well, and your business is doing well, and you're selling more eggs and milk at your grocery store, and you manager of the year. And you can praise the Lord. We had a manager of the year, Mr. Dave Bryant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you praise him?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, when they give you the pink slip. Can you praise him when them thugs come in and knock all the eggs off the shelf?
Amen.
Look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 and watch. Because of these three Hebrew boys, Nicodemus' heart was forever changed. And Nicodemus was as hard as they come. He was as rude as they come. He was as evil and wicked as they came, as they come. But when he seen Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego stand for the word of God, stand for the glory of God, stand for the God of the heavens, he changed. And he said, therefore, the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, and the flame slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Verse 24, this is phenomenal. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king was astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They wasn't walking. They was dancing. Y'all, they was there. Moonwalking and all that stuff. I think Michael Jackson started that. They got it from watching them dudes in the fire. They like.
Come on.
Ain't that something? They walking in the fire, in the midst of the fire. Can you walk in the midst of your fire? Dave, can you walk in the midst of your fire? Jeremy, can you walk in the midst of your fire? This is what I'm talking about. Elmer, when you hear, can you walk in the midst of your fire?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants. I like that. Okay, he recognized Nebuchadnezzar recognized them. He said, you servants of the Most High God, come forth. Come forth hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being together saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Let me tell you something. Greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. Understand, nigga, make sure we got the right person in us. And the way you can tell you got the right person in us, how you handle the fires.
Amen.
How do you handle the fires? How do you handle adversity? How do you handle criticism? How do you handle tragedy? How do you handle loss? So many people don't have the right stuff. These men had it. Let me get where I'm going. Nor was a hair on their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now watch this change in Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God, capital G, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel in the person of Jesus Christ and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You want to wonder why you're not being delivered? Wonder why you're going through? Are you trusting in him? Or are you trusting in yourself? Well, I can do it. I'll do it. No, are you trusting in him? Nebuchadnezzar seen that. He's seen that these servants trusted in him. Listen. And have changed the king's word. Huh? Change his word. Change the way he seen things. Change the way he thought. And this is what we are praying for our loved ones to do.
Amen.
But our part in it is trusting in the Lord. And that word trust means committing. And being committed to the word of God. Committed to the things of God. Committed to the house of God and the people of God. Having a commitment. They trusted in the king change. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. This question is, how you trust him? Because the true servants of God, we expect this. We're not seeing it because I don't think we expected it. We expect God to answer. When Paul prayed and an earthquake shook the place, Paul didn't put no emphasis on the earthquake. You don't hear him talk about earthquake at all. It's almost like he expected God to do something. Because he came to Macedonia because God sent him there. And he said, God, listen, I'm in this mess. And I know you brought me here. I know you called me to this. Now what you going to do? And when he did it, Paul wasn't surprised.
Amen.
And I hear folks that be so surprised when God do something. Really? I mean, screaming like they just hit the lottery. I mean, God didn't bless me. Listen. God bless you every day.
Amen.
God bless you when your children got off the school bus.
Amen.
You was blessed. Every day. He's blessing. The Bible says his blessings are what? New and every day. Every day. God's blessing. This is a blessed church.
Amen.
Blessed church. Moving. I'm getting there. Let's go back to Acts. Talk about this prison, this keeper. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Whew. And immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. That's what we're talking about now. Let's spiritualize that. Because we got some folks in our lives. And you can come to church every day. And you can praise the Lord and you can be sound asleep.
Amen.
You need to be awakened. And you need an earthquake. You need something to come in and shake you up.
Amen.
And then you have to ask, why is this stuff happening to me? Why am I going through this? Maybe God is shaking your foundation. Maybe God is shaking your foundation. Maybe God wants more out of you. He's trying to get your attention, and he will shake you. He will shake you by using the people closest to you to shake you.
Amen.
He will shake you. This man was waking out of his sleep. He was shaking. He was shaking, and then he looked around. What is going on? He knew. He knew what earthquakes meant. See, earthquakes always mean judgment in the Bible. When you talk about earthquake in the Bible, you talk about judgment. Jesus said this. Or the centurion, when Jesus was on the cross. He said, now the centurion, when they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake. And those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And you can go back to the Old Testament when King Uzziah went into the temple and started doing what only the priest could do.
Yeah.
And Amos 1:1 says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which was saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah the king, in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash the king, 2 years before the earthquake. Uzziah had went in there and started putting up offerings. Doing what only the priest were called to do. Then he killed the priest. God touched him with leprosy and shook the whole region with an earthquake. Pay attention to things that's happening around you. Pay attention to the things that's happening with your loved ones, especially folks that's close to you. God may be stirring you. God may be calling you. God may be calling you. Wake up. That's right. Say that, Vaughn. Wake up call. Sometimes we need a wake up call. Sometimes we need a wake up call. Listen, we see a picture of salvation. We see a picture of salvation. Because this man is going to come and ask the great question. The greatest question. I talked last week about a great question. Here's a great question. And you have to ask yourself this. He comes out. He's about ready to kill himself. And we know the thief comes to only to steal, kill, and destroy. Our suicide rate in America is outrageous. And you read the newspaper all the time, died at home, 17, 18, 19 year old, died at home, died at home, died at home. Listen, most of the time that's suicide. Mm-hmm. Why? No hope. Yeah. No light in the world. I blame everything on the church. Somebody asked me that Wednesday. Pastor, you blame everything on the church. I blame everything on the church.
Amen.
I blame everything on the church and the church folk. And God says that we are the salt of the earth. And when the world is just rotting away because the church has lost its salt. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about this building.
Amen.
I'm talking about those in here who call themselves Christians.
Amen.
And you know, and lick your hand, you ought to feel some salt. And we're not salty. Nobody know we Christians. I go around the room. Talk to all our young people. Your classmates know you say, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit? No. No. And then we wonder why our public schools is messed up.
Amen.
And we pull all our kids out. I almost said in that parochial school. That ain't no better.
Amen.
Well, they go to college. Okay, that's fine. You can go to college. I read the newspaper all the time. I see people with college degrees going to hell.
Amen.
Masters and doctorates. Satan wanted this man dead. Satan wanted this man dead. And he says, you can hear him almost say, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. And Paul hollered out, no, don't do it. Because the thief cometh but to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And if the word of God says this, let me say this and I won't get moving. But if Luke 15:10 says this, he said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What's the flip side of that? There is joy in the pits of hell for everyone dies that have not repented. That's the flip side of it. That's the flip side of it. Have you? We done some stuff this week. Have you repented of your sins? Servants of God, do you know the plan of salvation? Can you explain this plan of salvation? Someone was dying. They had three minutes to live, but you give them the plan of salvation. Think about that. And I'm not talking about, the last rites. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about can you give someone the plan of salvation? Sunday school teachers and ministers in this church, you need to know this.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not talking about last minute salvation, put somebody in heaven and all that. I'm talking about, do you know the plan of salvation based on God's word? Somebody wants to say, what did Paul say to this guy? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. This man came to the Lord. He came to Paul, rather. He called him sirs. That's an important word. I mean, he had reverence for him. He thought they were gods. And rightfully so. He seen the earthquake and he seen the bands loose on every inmate and they were all standing there. But he asked Paul this great question in verse number 30. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he didn't say, well, you know, ain't nothing you can do to be saved. It's too late for you. He didn't say, well, you know, it's already been done. Jesus died on the cross. And that's true. But Jesus died on the cross. He was saying, you must believe. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you at 1 Corinthians 15, here's the gospel message, plain and simple. He said, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand. You can stand on it. You can have a firm foundation. You can stand on this, by which also you are saved. How? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's not deep. Okay? And we understand what it means to believe. First, you got to hear. You got to hear. Those inmates in that prison guard possibly heard Paul preach the gospel. They heard. And then they accepted it as true. You can hear it, not accept it as true. I hear it, but I don't believe it. No way that can be true. I heard you, but I don't believe it. No, you got to hear and accept it. And then here's where the belief come in at. Trusting in it, committing to it. Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Only you know that.
Amen.
So they heard, they accepted, they trust, and then you have a confession. They went out and told. He went back to his house and his whole house was saved. We're not getting our whole house saved. We're not letting them know. We're not letting them know. Amos 8:11 says there's a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land. Why? For lack of hearing the word. The word is not being preached. The word is not being taught. Hosea 4:6 says, our people perish for lack of knowledge. And I see it firsthand. Honestly, I see it firsthand. Our young people could care less about the things of God. Our new generation, our young generation coming up, they have no interest in the word of God. And it may be parental. It may be. And the world is bombarding them. They got them tablets. They got them phones. And the movies and the commercials and the movies and everything. And our young people are perishing. I talk to you young boys all the time now. And I get a chance to talk to them. And they have no clue.
Uh-huh.
And they think being 30 years old is to be an old man at 30. Because they expect to be dead by 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad thing. Father, thank you for the word of God. Father, we need to be doers of the word, not hearers only.
Amen.
We need to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But first of all, we must know it ourselves. Then we must accept it and then believe it and trust in it. And then tell our loved ones about Jesus and the power of what he did on Calvary's cross. Father God, we thank you for Paul and his great ministry in Macedonia and in Philippi, Father God. But we need you to touch our hearts. We need a work of grace on our hearts, Father God. We need to ask God to get into our business and give us the power to live transformed lives. And then we need to go out and tell our loved ones and our coworkers and our classmates and our teammates and our friends about this Jesus. How can we say we love someone? How can we say we love our children? How can we say we love our aunts and uncles if we don't tell them about Christ and we know they, if they die, they're going to hell?
Amen.
Love is an action word, Father God. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus. You give us power to perform an action, to go out into a